my hope and prayer today is that as you hear this testimony, that it'll just sink into your heart and life. And that even before Mandy comes and shares, that God will already be doing a work in you. That he'll just be speaking and moving and working you towards his will and his heart. That all lives are sacred in the eyes of God. And I truly believe that Mandy lives that. She doesn't just believe it, she lives it. And she's humble enough that she'd say, I don't think that that's true, but we know that it is true, don't we, Mandy? We know it's true. So will you join me in welcoming Mandy Liske this morning?
Well, good morning. It is indeed a privilege that I am here with you today. I don't often do this, but I'm going to share a little bit at the very beginning and just tell you that there has been an enemy raging in our lives these past few weeks as we prepared and knew that I was coming. And I can tell you that the enemy, in every opportunity that he has been given, has fought against our family. And I woke up, I didn't sleep much last night, and the Lord kind of changed the trajectory of the story, because my story is deep and wide and vast and many facets that I can share of how faithful God has been. But I just want you to know today that my prayer today is that no weapon formed against me or anyone speaking on the subject today of sanctity of life and the gift of Jesus' love will stand. And I'm just grateful that God made a way for me to be here and share with you today. And so I say thank you to you for opening your hearts and your pulpit today to let me come and testify of God's faithfulness. So thank you. I believe that from the very beginning of time that God had a plan. And because you and I are here, well, guess what? We were a part of that plan. Aren't you grateful? In Jeremiah, you could probably quote the scripture with me that says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper and give you hope and a future." Praise God. I believe that we were put here for a relationship with our Lord. I believe we were put here to love our Jesus, to share our story, and to show our scars together. As the song that Big Daddy Weave penned that I believe he wrote just for me, it says, "If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go, love that never gave up. You would hear victory over an enemy, Genesis 50:20, what the enemy meant for evil, God would use for good. You would hear freedom that was won for me, how life overcame the grave. For to tell you my story today, friends, is to tell of him. If I should speak, then let it be of the love, the mercy, the grace, the justice, and how faithful that he has been as he fought and won for me. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, aren't you grateful that he's brought us this far and we can always trust the next chapter because he's God and he's sovereign? And much of my story this morning has to do with this beautiful family that you will see up here on the screen, or you already do. And I've asked them to scroll through some pictures, and they are being very gracious with me, so you be gracious with us as we flip from different pictures so that I can kind of welcome you in to our home and our family. We are the Liske Bunch, and we call it a house full of blessings. I call it happy, organized chaos. Don't get real excited, because it's not always happy. Amen? But we know that joy comes not from the momentary things, but the joy that Jesus gives. Aren't you grateful? Don't get excited about the organized, because I could just skip over that real quick. It's hardly organized. We show up every day. We do the best we can, and we say, "Whew, we made it." There is sure to be some form of chaos brewing somewhere in our family at any time, but you know what? It's the most beautiful, messy chaos I've ever been a part of. We are currently a family of 19. God first blessed us with two beautiful girls, and we say we have two homegrown, and then God blessed us with 15 heart-grown blessings. God called us out on the ride of our lives, this journey that we call adoption. And through international and domestic adoption, God has grown our family. We have grown our family from 8 different countries, including the U.S., 9 of which have mild to moderate special needs, and 1 medically fragile. And each and every one of these children, God has hand-selected, and in His sovereignty has orchestrated bringing them a part of our lives. We've prayed, we've trusted, and we've stepped out in faith with every single one of them. And with every one of those children came their own likes and dislikes, their own dreams and aspirations, their own disappointments, their own trauma, their own pain. But each and every one came as a gift and a blessing from God. He has pulled together, as only the sovereign God could do, strategically knitting together our family, creating a tapestry, a divine masterpiece for His glory. Dave, my wonderful husband, and I, we are not super parents. We're not even close. But we are purposeful to point each and every one of our children and all that we come in contact with to Him, whose sustaining grace and keeping power holds us together in His steadfast love. We are not saints and we are not saviors. There's only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. I pray today you know Him as your personal Savior. But we are, Dave and I, we are soldiers in God's army, fighting for the lost and the vulnerable as He has called us to do. We humbly accept this invitation from our Father, striving daily to imitate His love, extending touchable grace to the treasures that God has entrusted to us. We get to do this. We count it a blessing that has been afforded to us. When we are asked the age-old question of why, Mandy, 17 kids? Are you crazy? Yeah, we get asked that a lot. But let me tell you, we refer to the life verse that God gave us, and I believe it'll be up here on the screen. This is what we've adopted as our disclaimer. Well, if it seems that we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And we are, if we were in our right minds, well, that would be for you. It would be for your benefit. But you see, Christ's love controls us. Christ's love has moved us to such extremes that His love gets the first and last word of anything that we do. We say we put our yes on the table, and then God gets to ask the questions. He's in complete control. We have completely surrendered to whatever He asks. We know if He will ask, He will provide and make a way. When we first stepped out into obedience through faith, we asked God to do it in a way that only He could do, so that all the glory would point back to Him. I call them faith journeys, fantastic adventures in trusting Him. And they have been fantastic, and He is faithful. But let me tell you, there are times that they are fearful, they are fierce, they are frustrating, they are infuriating, and yes, there are times that we say, God, well, I don't know how we're going to do this. But He's always faithful. But we know that despite, no matter what we do, the real motivation that drives us to live this out-of-the-box lifestyle is His heart. And He reveals His heart in James 1:27 that you may also can be able to quote. James 1:27, that is pure, faultless, undefiled, uncorrupted religion is this. Accepting and lasting is to look after the orphan and the widow in their distress. Let me just ask you really quick, if you'll just take that word religion, and instead of seeing a bunch of rules and regulations, you'll just see a relationship. Remember what I said? God invited us, brought us here for a relationship with Him. And God says, for a lasting, undefiled relationship that I can do all that I want through you, this is what I'm inviting you into. Will you speak up? Will you be an advocate? Will you look after the widows and the orphans? And oh, guess what? They don't need to clean up their mess before they come to you. I want to love them and extend the grace that I've extended to you in their mess. But He promises He'll be with us every way. God gave us, he revealed his heart, he told us what he was doing. I believe that he means for it to be active compassion. And what he did is he first reveals his heart, then he reiterates his heart over 60 times through the word. We're not going to take time to go through that. But then, as a loving father would do, he demonstrated the desired behavior of his children when he decided in advance for those who chose to be a part of his family to adopt us. And this is my favorite part of that verse. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. He leads by example. And then we do for the child through adoption what God has done for us through the spiritual adoption. And then, as a loving father would do, he set the mandate, the commandment for us, and holds us accountable. In the verse in Proverbs 24:12, it says, "Once your eyes are open, we cannot pretend we do not know what to do. For God, who weighs our hearts and keeps our souls, knows that we know, and holds us accountable to act." Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it like this: "Silence in the face of evil is evil itself. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." Aren't you grateful today we have the blessing, we have the privilege to speak up as God has asked us to do? We all and we must do something. But oftentimes, God not only gives us his heart and reveals his heart, but he allows the circumstances of our lives to form the framework for the message that he wants to speak in and through us. And thus is the case with my story. For if we pull up here my baby picture, I'll begin to share a little bit with you of what God has done. For you see, my story begins in a small town of Georgia, y'all, if you haven't picked up on that. I was born into a family that was suffering from the effects of poverty, alcoholism, and drug addiction, thus resulting in every form of abuse and severe neglect. Our family portrait, as the one you saw of ours well ago, would not reveal happy, would not reveal whole, and certainly did not include hope. You see, my mother had entered into a second marriage, one that I believe was derived of desperation and not love. For you see, her first marriage was abruptly ended when her husband, and who I believe my father, came in after hearing of the news that she was expecting me. And he did not believe that I belonged to him. And so he gave her an ultimatum. He said, "Either end this pregnancy and abort this child, or I walk out leaving you alone with the two children that you already have." I'm not sure the thoughts and the things that went through my mother's mind that day, but I can only imagine. But can I tell you that the first miracle that God formed in my life that he did for me was that my mother, after contemplating all she would lose, all that would happen, how difficult, how extremely alone that she would be, my mother in that moment chose life for me. That's the first miracle of my life. Praise God. It was about 7 years ago, and my daughter and I were driving down the road, and we were talking about what was to come the next day, Sanctity of Life, and I would be speaking, and we were sharing, and I don't believe I had ever shared that part of the story with my teenage daughter. And we're driving down the road, and all of a sudden, we're in this deep conversation, and I'm just pouring out my heart, and all of a sudden, she goes, "Oh my gosh, what about me?" Well, in a moment, I was going, okay, well, this is going to be like every other teenage conversation that we engage in. This is going to divert back, and it's going to be about her. "Okay, what about you?" She said, "Mom, what about me? Where would I be today if your mom had not chosen life? What about all my siblings? Where would we be?" And that moment, you could just see on her face a child that had walked through extreme difficulty, that had walked through horrific pain and abandonment and rejection time and time again. And in that moment, I could see in her eyes that God had given her a revelation of the love that he had for her, how he had reached out in the pit of horrible and hard things and delivered her and had a plan to redeem her life, and that I was a part of that, thank God. And I had thought about it, but I had never hit me the way that it hit me that day. It never resonated, and it was a revelation for me. For in that moment, my life flashed once again before my eyes, and the story that he was writing and all the beautiful opportunities that God had given us. And I said, oh God, where would they be? And boy, I've been grateful for my life every single day, but can I tell you, I believe that I was never more grateful in that moment than for my life, for how God had chosen to use me. Well, my mother made the choice to keep me, and as her husband and who I believe my father, he kept his word and he walked out the door, leaving her soon to be a poor single mother of three struggling. So this marriage that I believe that she entered into soon after was not derived of love, but perhaps out of desperation, seeking for someone to do life with and to support her. And now, unfortunately, my stepfather's vices created horrific conditions and would eventually lead to complete destruction and her dismay. Every day was a desperate struggle to survive. On any given day, my mother could be seen knocking at the back doors of our neighbors, seeking a safe haven for just a little while, perhaps begging or bartering for food to provide for her children. And with each and every day as we grew, so did the struggle for my mom. And then on one particular day, it started out like any other day in my home. The onset of rage and the violence would follow. And on this particular day, the violence was more severe than maybe it had ever been. And on this particular day, my mother would have grown so weary and so worn, for the struggle every day to provide and protect and survive would take its toll on her life. And she no longer had the stamina or the strength to fight. And on this particular day, the violence would take my mother's life right before my eyes. It was believed to be about a day and a half later when the neighbors suspected something and the authorities were called. And when the authorities walked into the room, there they found my mother's body beaten and strangled, lying over the edge of a bed. And over in a corner was a little girl, shivering, abandoned, battered, ever so fearful to be touched, but so desperate to be loved. And in that moment when the calls were made and there was no appropriate placement for me to go live, I would enter into what we know as the foster care system, and I would become a ward of the state. And though I had few belongings, much baggage would go with me. For wherever I went, the impact of everything that I had experienced, though when it started out just as a prologue of a book, there were great aspirations and great dreams and things that were hoped for this life. But with every time that I endured the affliction of neglect or abuse, every time that I would be moved into a new placement, every time that I would wonder if my actions for the day would merit my next eviction notice, every time that the trauma and the triggers would take hold of my life, every time the impact was made on my life and on the lives of the children that we know, or the lives of the young adults that unfortunately are still struggling. Sometimes, far too often, we expect these lives to walk into our home as if the impact has not been made. Far too often we expect these children to walk into our schools. And if I can be really real with you, I've seen far too often that we expect these lives to walk into our churches like the impact has not been made. But aren't you grateful God's invited you into the opportunity to speak love and to extend his tangible healing grace? Aren't you thankful that God is in the redemption business and that he doesn't leave us that way? But he says, oh, hold on. I've got a new story to write. I'm not finished yet. And I will not waste a bit of your suffering and pain. And so that's what God has done in my life. And there's so much more that I could share on that end of the story. But because of the day and because of what we're celebrating today and what we want to choose our time to speak up for and for God to raise up an army to speak for is the sanctity of life. I want to share with you how not only did God step in and spare my life, and that was the first of many times that God stepped in and sovereignly spared my life. But then he said, oh, no, Mandy, I've got a better plan because I'm going to let you meet Dave and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to grow you and I'm going to call you into this wonderful, wonderful road of adoption. And every life that I bring into your home, every life that I give you the privilege to love, can I tell you someone chose life for them? And I say that life was worth living and I've got a plan and a purpose for them. Do you notice that verse in Jeremiah says, I have a plan. I know the plan and the purpose I have for your life. Never once does it say, oh, if I had a plan, if I wondered, if I wanted to create you. It says, when I created these lives, I have a purpose and a plan. Aren't you thankful? And we get to be a part of that. And so Dave and I, we prayed and God called us into this beautiful world of adoption. And I'm going to zip through a few of these because I want to get to the end. And I'll tell you what, you have me back another day and I'll fill you in on all the gaps, okay? So he called us and he began stirring in our hearts, and we had tried to grow our family naturally and with failed attempts and disappointments and heartbreaks. And the Lord just came to me one day and met me on the pew and he said, oh, Mandy, I hear your heart. I know that because of my redemption, I have healed you. I placed you eventually into a loving Christian home that you would learn the grace and the love of Jesus. You accepted me into your heart, and now you were not only adopted once, but you were adopted twice because I adopted you into the family of God. And I know that you have a heart to grow your family more into love and eventually adopt. But he said, right now I'm asking you, will you ditch your plan? All that, you know, perfect little plan that you have created, will you ditch your plan and trust me? It's time to adopt. Don't worry about the hows. Don't worry about the why I'm choosing this. Don't worry about that. Will you just obey? And we did. And we stepped out the first, and I could tell you miracle after miracle after miracle that God performed in our lives to bring home our first little boy, Bryce. And right there, isn't he adorable? We called him our little sumo. He's tall and thin now. These are really old pictures. He's graduating high school this year. God transformed our life through this process of this adoption. Can I tell you, any time that God asks us to say yes, even when it involves a child, it's never just about the child, but it's about what God wants to do in and through us and transform our lives. And can I tell you, with every single yes, with every single, even closed door, God has taught us, he has grown us, he has strengthened us, and he has empowered us to keep going, and I'm so grateful. God worked miracle after miracle, and he brought home our little boy named Bryce, and it's a beautiful story of how when they said, why do you want to adopt this little boy? Because he's in an area that you're not allowed to adopt in. And I sat there, and I said, how do you just tell someone that you believe this is God's will? And the Lord said, write this. Jesus loves the little children. Oh, that's good, Lord. That's good. I'm going to write it. And I began writing on this appeal of why we wanted this particular little boy that on a piece of paper and because of restrictions that we weren't allowed to get. And I know God doesn't always work in this way, but he said, just obey, follow me. Okay, Lord. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, you know it, red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That's good, Lord. And they're all his. That's good. And I sat there and I said, all right, what's next? I got 6 pages to finish answering questions and write. And the Lord said, that's it. I want you to send the appeal and trust me. And then I can tell you a story of how the Lord came in and how I got a phone call at 7:30 when they had an emergency board meeting. They weren't even supposed to be looking at my file that day. And they said, Miss Litsky, we read your appeal today. And I said, yeah. And they said, oh, can I tell you that we didn't even get through the first page? Praise God. Because once they read your verse down there, they all just took the file and said, give that mama her boy. God's got a plan for this and trust it. Yeah, a bunch of businessmen sitting at a table that had all the reasons to say no. God stirred in their hearts, praise God, and he made a way to bring Bryce home. And then from there, God stirred our hearts, and God brought us into the, called us out into special needs. 8 of our children have mild to moderate special needs. And in this next slide, you'll see the beautiful picture of Joy, who was the first of 4 of our children that have Down syndrome. Oh, it wasn't that we thought we could do it. I was scared to death. And I had my Abraham moment before Joy because we lost our first yes. And God said, will you still believe me? Will you still trust me? Will you still step out? Yes, Lord. And he brought this beautiful little girl named Joy into our life. And it's a story that only God could write. And in the end, I can tell you she lives up to her name. She has taught us more about life because these kiddos, they live just pure and simple. They love people, and they love life. They keep it all into perspective. She walked around at Christmas time several years back, and she said, Merry Christmas, Mom. I love you. And I said, oh, Joy, Merry Christmas. I love you, too. And in July, she would come in, and she would say, Merry Christmas, Mom. I love you. And I would say, oh, Merry Christmas, Joy. I love you. And yeah, we thought it was cute, and we chuckled until one day. It was one of the most difficult days that we had had. And she met us at the door, and she did that. And in the moment, the tears just fell. Because it's like she got it, that every day was a gift given by the Father. They speak, they teach to us in ways that only they can do. And then God stirred our heart. And then God led us again. And David said we could do 1 adoption financially. We laugh too now that we've done 15. Y'all were supposed to laugh on cue. Try again. 1 adoption, Mandy, that's all we can probably afford. But God has met us. God has provided. We've been good stewards, but God's made a way. And then one day the Lord said, Mandy, get ready. And I said, get ready for what? I've got something more. And I said, oh, Lord, you've done it once and you've done it twice. And really in between, he had began doing it more because our family grew very quickly. And he said, no, Mandy, he said, I have another adoption for you. And I said, well, Dave said once. And I said, and then he went for 2 and believed you and you've taught him and he's trusted you. But if you think he's going to go for a third, well, Lord, we might need to have a chat because you might have the wrong idea. I said, God, you might need my help a little bit in this one. Don't we ask God that sometimes? He said, Mandy, just be quiet, stay in my word, and trust me. Do I need to tell y'all how hard it is for me to be quiet? Staying in his word, well, you know, we have to discipline, but I can do that. But being quiet was hard. And I prayed, and I sought, and I waited. But then he said, I'll let you know. And we were getting ready for a date night. And we had not had a date night for a while. I had not had a hot meal or a full conversation with my husband, and I was excited. And I was getting ready, and I was putting on my makeup, and I was had the babysitter in line. The dinner was cooked, and the Lord said, tonight. I said, yep, tonight's date night, Lord. He said, no, tonight you're going to tell Dave what I've put on your heart. I said, oh, no, I'm not, God, because you're going to ruin date night. And he did. Because I can't remember a whole lot about it other than my stomach was churning and I felt nauseous because I just knew in my mind that in the moment that I told Dave of what God wanted to do, he would think I was crazy. So I had it all planned out. I had my cup of cappuccino because we were going to go. We were going to do our date, and we always ended in coffee. We no longer ended in coffee because a cup of coffee equals a new child. So Dave said, no more coffee. So we went to get our Starbucks, and I had that big old cup because Dave would say back then that when I drank that cappuccino, everything would just disappear. Well, I hoped it did tonight. And I had it all planned, and I said, hey, honey, I got a question for you. He said, yes. I said, what would you think if we were to adopt another child? I took a big old drink of that cappuccino, and it burned all the way down and all the way back up. And before I even realized what happened, he said, okay, Africa. Well, I spewed out that coffee all over Dave and all over the waiter that had returned to our table. And I said, what do you mean Africa? You haven't talked to me about Africa? He said, well, now you've not talked to me about adopting again either, have you? Well, no, Lord, I have, or no, Dave, I haven't. But, you know, when we pray and we trust and we wait as God teaches us to, he meets us right there in the middle. And y'all, he does what he says he'll do, right? Say that with me. He'll do what he says he'll do. And he did it right then. And we were so excited. And we were just looking at how God had brought us. And God and Dave was sharing with me how God had stirred in his heart. And we were talking. And then on the way home, all of a sudden, what I call the bomb of reality hit. And the enemy was right there and says, oh, Mandy. Yeah, I see how you think you've got it and that God's working it all out. Oh, he has. Do you see what God's done? Oh, yes, but have you asked him what it'll cost you? Well, we know what it'll cost us because we've been through this path before, but he owns a cattle of 1,000 hills and he's going to take care of... Oh, no, Mandy. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about what's going to cost you. What family might walk away? What friends might walk away if you continue to put your yes and speak up and do what God asks you to do? Have you forgotten where you're from? And that as much as you would love to believe that the undertones of prejudice don't exist somewhere in your family and distant friends. And I began to think, but I began to pray, and there was a war going on, but I was determined that I was going to follow the Lord. And in days and months, we chose, if you look at the next slide, this beautiful little boy named Chase, whose name was Jacob, and means a warrior. And one day I just said, Lord, I'm not worrying anymore. I give it all to you. And I planted it on the table and I began to say, as I often do through music, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And then it got to the part, you know, though none go with me, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, though some think we're crazy, though some think we're going to fall on our face, though some have say, oh, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into, still I will follow. What's the rest of it? No turning back, no turning back. I made a declaration that day, and I surrendered everything, and I said, I don't care, Lord. I'm yours because you've spared my life, and you have a plan and a purpose, and I'm totally surrendered to your call. We brought Jacob Chase home, who would have been a part of a Liberian army taking lives, the young of 8 years old, but now because of his love and because of the redemptive grace of Jesus Christ, now he's a warrior in God's army, fighting for God's army. That's an amen. Amen. And then God began to call us more. And I could tell you the stories. Believe me, I'm not going to take you through the rest of them. My math isn't good, and I don't know how many we have left anyway. But let me just take you down to Noah's story as we close. Because what God has taught us through this precious life, if you could call it a total unexpected, we knew about Noah's little life. And if you go to the next one, in the very beginning, Noah had been born with a complete list of complexities. But the fact of the matter is that a young single mom at 16 years old had chosen to give life to this precious life that God had created and had a plan and a purpose for. And we were trying to find a come around because we were a part of the board on the adoption team, and we were trying to find a family that would step in and to adopt. And when that was, we were failing and not finding a home, someone said, well, Mandy, have you considered bringing Noah into your home and into your family? And I said, oh, no, I don't think we can do that because we have all this going on. And we were walking through difficult journeys with these children and all this other was happening. And I said, I just don't know. And I don't know what it would do to my children because we didn't know if Noah would bless us on earth with a week, a month, or a year. He's going to be 4 this year, this January, end of this month. But I was worried of bringing a child like that into our home because of kids who had experienced so much loss and how it would trigger them and traumatize them more. And I was just telling God, I just don't believe we can do this. And one day, standing in my bedroom, I can remember it as if it were today, this morning. And God stopped me and said, oh, Mandy, You keep telling me why you can't bring this precious life into your home, but never once have you stopped to ask me what I want to do through this child for your home, what I want to do through this child for all the people that I will bring him in contact with. Mandy, remember your promise to me? Put your yes on the table and trust me. Well, Dave and I met. I shared what God had spoken to me. We knew there's no arguing with that, right? So we surrendered and we said yes. And can I tell you, it's one of the greatest yeses that we've ever, ever said. Because some would look at Noah's life, and I can tell you, he spent more days in the hospital. But I can tell you right there in Allie, the picture with Allie, who was diagnosed with leukemia October 18th. I can tell you how he rescued her life out of an Armenian orphanage and how he's brought these two together, and the love of the two of them have strengthened one another and empowered them. If we go to the next picture, I can tell you right there as he's warring on with Allie through her treatments and keep going. And then I can tell you the next picture of Megan, who had experienced loss and who had experienced abandonment and so forth, and how God brought the two of them and the love for one another. I can tell you what God is doing through this precious life. And you know what? There's many times we get to be Jesus to him, but let me tell you, there's more times in a million that he's Jesus to us and all that he comes in contact with. This is my son Christian, who God rescued out of the pit of Ghana, and how his story, I can't even begin to tell you right now, but how he's using the love of Noah to help Christian continue to heal and to continue to redeem his life. I can tell you how he's used this precious little life to bring a family together. That's us on Christmas Eve, disappointed that he wasn't going to make it home for Christmas, but we all went to his hospital room, and that's our family praying over him together. And I can tell you how this life has brought a family together and strengthened and carried us through some of the most difficult moments that I could even begin to express to you today. And I believe there's one more, maybe, with Dave. No. I can tell you how he's taken a man who had no idea how he was going to afford all the yeses, but he surrendered his life. He didn't know what it was going to cost, both financially and through our life, but how he's transformed this man's life through every yes, and the last one being Noah, a life that some may argue, is it a life worth living? Oh, can I tell you it is? And can I tell you what he's done through this life? I'm so grateful that when Jesus says, what you've done for the least of these, you've done unto me. And you know what? That's wonderful. And I do look forward to the day that God says, well done, my good and faithful servant. But I look forward to the day that I'm able to stand before him face to face and say, thank you for affording me the opportunity for every yes that I have put. Thank you for carrying me. Thank you for being so ever faithful. I don't know how this story and this message today stirs in your heart. I don't know what God is asking you to do, and maybe you don't even know yet. But can I ask you, whatever he's doing, will you say yes? Yes to be a voice. Yes to stand up. Yes for whatever God is asking you. Put your yes on the table and trust him. Because I promise you, he will be ever so faithful. And our time is short. And we have much work to do for the kingdom. But we get to do this. And he's never asked us to do it alone. He promises to go with us. And he's brought a family, our village, and our community together to do it together.
I'm glad I'm not the only one. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much today for Mandy and for her family. God, may we be ever so faithful to lay our yes on the table and let you do with it what you want to. And thank you today, oh God, for the reminder that you don't leave us where you find us, but you fill us with good things, hard things, wonderful things that transform our lives and the lives of people around us. Oh God, we thank you today. We give you praise. We pray, oh Lord, for pregnant mamas all across the world who are making hard decisions today May you do a miracle in their life, just like you did in Mandy's mom's. May they say yes to life. God, may you work in us, a people of God, who come with so many ideas of what it should look like for us to live life and rock our world. Shake us up. Move us around. Make us look more like Jesus. God, we pray today for your redemptive power, for your peace and joy that passes all understanding to be upon your people. God, I pray that TC Naz will be a place where orphans and widows come in and feel right at home because they are loved and they are cared for. God, help us not to be in the business of being sinners because we ignore what you have called us to ignore, what you have called us to transform. Help us to be a people of life. You've given us that chance and that choice. Oh, that you may choose life. Lord, we love you and we thank you again today for Mandy. We pray that you will be with her family, that you'll be with Noah and Kara today. God, guide them by your Spirit. Continue to lead them. May your grace be upon them. Amen. Today as you go, we would love to be able to give back a little bit to Mandy and her family. They have given so much, and right now she didn't share today, but she's posted on social media, so I think it's okay to share. She has two little ones that are in the hospital right now, two of her 17 children, right? Am I adding correctly? I'm mathing good today. That's great. So two of her 17 kids are currently in the hospital, which means she's got a party of kids at home and just some extra need of love and support and prayer, but we also want to show that monetarily today. And so if you want to write a check to the church, that would be fine. If you want to throw some cash in the plate, there's an offering plate as you exit the door at the back today. And let's just give generously. We stand today for the benediction. People of TC Naz, as you go from here today, lay your yes on the table and let God do the work. Amen. You are dismissed.